Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Words from the Word. I am your host, Overseer Paulette, and I am so glad that you've joined us this morning in our Friday Fellowship of Learners. We have come a long, long way. This will be the beginning of year number 6. We just thank God for you, for your presence, and for your faithfulness to this ministry. You have made it truly a joy, and the Lord has made it a benefit for our souls. So as we commence our next year of gathering, of fellowshipping on Friday to learn the Word of God, to be exposed to the will of God and His power that He is giving to His people, we have the challenge to come up with our next book. As we're coming to a close on our current study of prayers that bring about supernatural results, the book that I should have in front of me. Here we go. Powerful Prayers for Supernatural Results from Mike Shear. Full of his books, he has proven to be a very readable author as he has shared some of the truths that the Lord has revealed to him, and he's penned them for our edification. And he has broken down some things that we have heard in Scripture. We've read it before in Scripture. It's not that we were unfamiliar with it, but he pointed out some PowerPoints to give us some insight as to those things that transpired when these saints gave themselves over to the will of God for their lives, mostly in the time of trouble. I pray that you can hear me well. I hear some, I don't know what that sound is, some static, so I hope it's not present in your listening. We thank you that as you join with us on Friday, and as we have looked at these powerful prayers from these awesome saints in the Bible, they were individuals just like we are. Some had been placed into positions of high power. Some were the result of promises that were given through the ages and the faithfulness of God to continue in the promise to the fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so his characteristic was always viewed based on the history that the leader had experienced with God from generations past, which just lets us know that what happens has to be played forward. We have to establish things today so that 100 years from now, our generations will know what God has done and will honor and reverence Him because of it. And so the way we play out our lives and our journey with God, the way we walk today and the way we share that walking, whether we journal, whether we teach generations, whether we pen songs, whatever it is that we do that will be in the annals of time, that when 100 years from now, people will look back on it and be blessed by it. A lot of our authors have long since transitioned to heaven, and yet their writings are very, very powerful resources for us today. One of the authors that we're considering to continue our study with is Andrew Murray. And he lived from 18-something to 1917, and yet his writings are very powerful and alive today. We've used some of them, and we've received great understanding and revelation through them that has edified our lives. And so this is what we are desiring to do now, to be reminded that we want to live so that others might know Christ, and that others that follow, just as the scripture says, you know, you are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. We want to be those witnesses surrounding the generations to come to encourage them to continue drawing near to God and encouraging them through what we've already done while we have been here on earth. And so we are looking to assess what books will be next in our series, and we want to make this sixth year a very powerful, impactful year, impacting your lives. A lot of challenges are before us, a lot of struggles, a lot of changes, a lot of adjustments have to be made, that really some of them rock the very foundation of our existence that were before will never be again. And so we have to have a vision for what is next and what God would have us to do. I read a very interesting article this morning indicating those that may feel they fear that they may miss God. And I really should have said it just so that I could to share it this morning. However, the very fact that he is God and the greatness of his person causes us to be impossible to miss him, because he's everywhere. And it takes the force, the enemy's way of bringing chaos and confusion to our minds, because it takes us out of the focus of the power that God does to lead us, and it focuses on the power we have to follow. And a sheep just doesn't need power to follow. He just needs his eye on the shepherd. And he definitely shared it a lot more profoundly than I'm sharing it now. However, just understanding you won't miss God. You don't have to be afraid of missing God. You don't have to be afraid of being in the place that God wants you to be. He shares the scripture from Psalm 139. He says, "You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is so wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain to it." So it's just that assurity that God, you know, in front, he's in back, he's all around, and we don't have to fret, if you will, or even concern ourselves with or have the fear or wrestle with, you know, I don't know if I've missed God. It may sound noble, but time has taught that that's just the way the enemy uses to entrap people, because once that fear really takes root, it makes you immobile to follow. It changes God's ability to lead you to your ability to follow. And so this makes our Christian walk, it makes it fear-driven rather than love and faith-based. Satan always tries to pervert our godly desire to follow God, leading by questioning every move we make, until we become trapped and confused and we don't do anything. And the enemy, like, freezes us with this fear of making a wrong move. And he knows that when we get like that, that we can't follow because we're immobile. But Jesus is not trying to trick us. He wouldn't tell us to follow if it were impossible. He's going to make his way known to us. And we have to trust his love to do that. We can think of some of the reasons that God is such a big target. It would be hard to miss him. How can you aim and not come in contact with him? How can you reach and not touch something that declares his existence, the fact that he's there and he's with you and he speaks to you? How can you look and not see even the fingerprint, his majesty, you know, in the beautiful sunsets and the way the clouds billow? And when you see these things, and he said, if you acknowledge him, he will direct your path. So just in acknowledging his presence around you, he has promised and covenanted with you to direct your path. When you look up and see the wonders of the stars, sometimes there's just so many stars, it looks like they're touching each other. Someone has placed them there, and they have, and that has been the Lord God Almighty. Just the heights of the mountains reminds us that Jesus is a rock of refuge. When you see a tall, majestic mountain, you see that strength and that solidness, that's unmovable. And it thinks of, you know, that's the refuge we find in our rock, Jesus Christ. And so when the wind awakens our souls to his unseen presence as it whispers, because you feel it and you know it's there, don't see it, but you know it's there. And that reminds us that we may not see him with our natural eyes, but all around us, our soul is responding to his presence. And so when we get into those kinds of environments and when we have that mindset, it will dispel the fear, because it will just reveal the great love that Christ has for us, the great plans even that God has for us. And so we just want to start today's session being mindful of, and if you have any ideas of books to go to next, I welcome your input. You know, this is the Fellowship of Learners, so you can speak this morning and good morning. And so if you have suggestions, please just speak them out. Let us know. Okay? Sometimes we run across studies or books or get exposed to, you know, an author that, you know, really speaks to our spirit. You know, we'll share it, and it may be something that we will sit and be able to engage in on our Friday Fellowship of Learners. We do want to consider the financial obligation that a book would bring, but I do encourage you to make that investment. And I would like to do it, like, let you know, like, early, so that you have time to purchase the book, because it's going to be very important that you have your resource and that you are using it through the week, so that our time together will be even more effective and more impactful, because it will be continuing in a foundation that you will have already established. So as we've shared that, one of the books that come to my mind, well, there are many of them that come to my mind, but I think this morning was Search for Significance. I think a book that will look at some of the lies of the enemy that we don't realize we are still functioning under that influence when we don't have to anymore. And just to go even higher and more near to God, there we definitely have overcome, and we are part of the body of Christ. We're part of the family of God. But as he draws us closer and closer to him, he will reveal those things that have been rooted, deeply rooted, those strongholds that society has engrafted in our thinking and in our understanding, those strongholds that even our lives experience. have impacted us with so very powerfully that sometimes we're not even aware of the power of that influence. Recently, there's all this violence and all of these atrocities towards the brown and, what do they call them, brown and black people or whatever, people of color. And sometimes you see some things and you just become so angered by it. And there's a reason. There's something in the root of that, not just the injustices of it, but probably just the pain and all that has built up over generations are being stirred up. And so there are some things that are there that definitely need to be freed by the truth of God in our lives, so that when these things happen, they don't erupt in violence like we're seeing, and just this very deep, this frustration and anger that is coming. This is like it's erupting. God said he was going to shake the heavens and shake the earth, and that which wasn't shake will remain, and that will be from the kingdom of God. And so there's a lot of shaking up going on. There's a lot of uprooting and exposure. He'll bring a lot of things to light, a lot of realities that we weren't really that aware. And again, then we are aware of prejudices and things like that. But there's some things that, like, that happened, like in the 30s and the 20s and 30s and, you know, 1800s and those sort of things, we really don't have a full, impactful, emotional understanding of what it was like to live in that kind of environment where you were not free. We don't understand truly what it means to not be free. And so I believe that as these things are being exposed to us on a natural, we need to understand they also have a spiritual side. So in a lot of areas, we really don't know what it's like to be free. Free from the influence of sin in our thinking, in our emotions, in our understanding, in the counsel we give. And so those seven spirits, the spirit of the Lord, the spirit of the fear of the Lord, the reverence of God is not what it used to be. And it has to be, and it shall be, because the word of God says that when the end comes, that that he will be the God the nations desire. So in other words, they will realize there is no God other than the true and living God, and they will reverence him, and they will come to an understanding of his great might and his great power as the end starts to unfold. And so those are just a few of the things that we want to present before the Lord in our spirit, so that he can enlighten us, truly enlighten the eyes of our understanding, that spirit of understanding, spirit of knowledge, the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of power. You know, there's some power we have that we're not utilizing to its full potential, and it's because there's some truths that we have not fully embraced. And there are some connections that have not been totally severed. And so those are the kinds of things that as we go forth in our sixth year, we want our study to edify us so that it can build the body of Christ. All things being done for the glory of God. Our only existence here is so that we can glorify God through the plan he has for our life. Every life has a plan and has a purpose established divinely by God, and it needs to grow up in the journey that the Lord has established for us, that path of righteousness that we're able to walk now because of the blood of Jesus Christ has given us that authority and that power to do so. And so as we go forth, we definitely want to be mindful of God's intent for us in our studying and in our Friday fellowship of learners. And so We will turn to our lesson for today. Any questions, insights, revelations, input, inspirations that you want to share or should share? I won't say you want, but that you should share with us this morning. This is the time. Good morning, good morning, good morning.
Good morning, Overseer. Just one thing, this is really more a comment on what you were saying as opposed to directly related to the, to the letter. When you were talking about fear, it reminded me of a phrase that people used to say, about a decade ago, the paralysis of analysis, that, you know, we would micromanage or think about something and noggin to the point that we really were paralyzed to really do anything about it because we had overanalyzed whatever, you know, whatever the situation was. We had just kind of really talked ourselves out of the faith. And one other thing, when you're talking about reading an article, I read an article, and one of the things that they had mentioned that no other society had really ever had to deal with was that we were the first, not us, but the really the generation before us, kind of, but we're still here and still be involved. We're the only we're the first generation to start to have feelings about our feelings, that in the past nobody else judged their feelings and then reacted, you know, whatever their response would be. But it was saying, like, you know, people would may feel anxious or may feel guilty or may feel whatever and then start to have feelings about the feelings. But, oh, I shouldn't feel guilty because your situation is worse than my situation. You know, those types of things. And they were saying that in the past, nobody had even, that wasn't even a thought process. You wouldn't even go down those types of things. If you felt a certain way, that's how you felt. And you dealt with that feeling, that emotion, that whatever was going on. But they were saying that now we have become so analytical that we have heaped analyzing our analyzation, if you will, for lack of a better word to use. But I you know, I can understand that because people are in therapy and have therapy about their therapy, you know, or, you know, where you don't get to a point and try to figure out what the end game is with this particular approach. Now you're second guessing the approach that was your remedy, if you will, you know, that creates just another level of really procrastination and doubt and so many other things. We're just adding, just heaping one thing onto another. Just an observation is with, you know, with what you were speaking about earlier.
Absolutely, and I love that you know, show that they've studied this. This is being studied, it's being analyzed, and all of that, when I realized that what the article was saying was, that is a tool of the enemy. That's, you know, and so there's some things, you know, you think, okay, I don't smoke, I don't drink, I don't cuss, I don't this, but you analyze. That means you're questioning God. Which, but it seems like, yeah, but I'm just questioning it to make sure I'm doing what he's supposed to do. But it is not for you to make sure. It's for you to trust that he will. So even that becomes a sin, one of those kinds of, I don't know, omission or commission, but one of those undercover, if you will, sins that are devastating because they're not those, what do you want to say, those common things that you look for and that you war against. So these are things you don't even know to war against. Did you think the war that you're warring is a good one? And it isn't. It is a misdirected one. And so, because like you said, it takes your mind off being a follower. No, it takes your mind off of the perfect leader, who is Jesus Christ, and puts it, your mind on you as a follower. So you start to want to perfect your fellowship, if you will, rather than allow the Lord to perfect your faith. And so it's like such a deceiving type of intricate web. And, you know, it's like, let him, our eyes, our understanding be enlightened, let the scales fall off. So we know the strategy of the enemy.
Right.
And that's how we, you know, that's how we overcome. Now that we know, we get our own, or we will follow God's strategy for this, his destruction, rather than trying to analyze what should I do. You know,
and I think the root of that is pride. Because
we
put it in that analysis, obviously there's something in there that God might have missed. And I'm going to be extra thorough on my investigation. You know,
right. And it's
not going to be emotional. It's not going to be based in tradition or legacy. You know, I'm going to, you know, it's my intellectual prowess that I have honed. You know, the information that I have collected and learned, then, you know, I'm going to continue to, it's almost like remine when they talk about data mining, where you're just looking at it from, you know, every perspective, you know, so we find ourselves where people will start to say major in the minor, you know, so you can find something in everything, you know. I mean, I think that's the whole beauty of the whole ecumenical, you know, can we agree on Christ is God's son? You know, what are the big things we can agree on? Then we don't really have to worry about just in the natural, whether you have open-toed or closed-toed shoes, that's not even an issue, you know, because once you get beyond whatever the uniform is, if you will, then that should be an end game. And I know I'm kind of jumping all over, but, I mean, there's so many things that sidetrack, you know, what we do. You know, oh, I don't know Greek or Hebrew. Well, there are like a million things out here that have translated all of those things. And now, that can't be something that'll hold you back. You know, you can't say that I didn't get. I mean, even like a seminary education, there are so many avenues out here that if we would avail ourselves, even free, you know, do the work, lean in, you know, put the time in, that we can I was going to say hone our craft, but you know what I mean, that we can develop our skill set so that we can be effective in spreading the good news of who Christ is, you know, although the biggest demonstration is our lives, you know, are we living? Is our life attractive? Is it fragrant so that people truly see something different in us, you know, and, you know, as the Holy Spirit gives us victory in our obedience, some of those other things, some of the other things that may just be tradition or just fluff or just other things, just areas that we put around ourselves to, you know, not achieve will burn off, you know, because, you know, not only the light of His Word, but the light of His love, you know, if we're operating in it. But, we really get in our own self's way. Well, I should say I get in my own self's way. Y'all might not get in your self's way.
Exactly, and it's true. And we do. And so we, in our fellowship, in our coming together, when this is brought out, when the head of the enemy is exposed, then we get a clearer picture of what we need to do and how we need to do it. Then we really, when he's exposed, our hearing and our spiritual sight becomes keener, because now the Lord is able to share more mysteries with us so that we can overcome. And so as on so many levels, we look at the same level. We're not looking up and not looking ahead or forward. We're just looking around and back. And so we're taking what's around and back and applying it, whereas what we need to do is look beyond that. And the only way we can do that is in honoring the prophetic and in keeping our eyes on the priest and the ark, which is the word of God. Because the word of God, how many times have we read it recently and got stuff out of it we never saw 5 years ago? So that's going forward in it. It's going deeper into the deep, call it to the deep. So now we, because I've heard people say that, and I go, oh, you know, that sounds like a really great thing to say. But what does it really mean? You know, and it's like going to the root of a thing. And because you have the power to go to the root, you can go deep and deep and deep and find out the real source of a lot of things. And as you said, and it always ends up, the very simple things, like those seven sins that God, and one of them is pride. One of them is pride, and it takes a different, takes on a different look at different stages and in different places in our walk. So because we recognized it in one place that's around us or behind us, we don't understand what it looks like going forward to the next place. And so this fellowshipping of come together, of becoming one in Christ and sharing everything, enables our eyesight to even be, or they say your spirit being quickened by the Holy Spirit, and our eyesight being revealed clear and clear, getting a God's eye of everything rather than getting a view and then running with it as a human view because, oh, I saw that, I know that's what that means, and that's it. Now that's where I am. No, that's not where you are, because where you are is going forward. And so the view you have, it helps you through where you are. And I'm like you, maybe I'm babbling now, but I can see the picture of our journey in the path of righteousness. And in each step, it looks different. Each step, it looks even more profound. Each step, it has more of an impact. Each step has more of a perfected walk to it. And so that's what we're aiming at. And that is some of the things that as we study in these readings that we desire, you know, this has to be the desire of our heart to get this. Lord, I want to get what it is you have for me. I want to receive it. I want my spirit to be open to it. And so the lines are open. Dialect, inspiration, revelation, insight, sharing this morning, just on the path that we're going to continue to pursue and those things that we may, we need to incorporate as we go forward. Wonderful dialect.
It makes you think of the eagle-eyed prophet, too, to be able to soar higher. Or just the eagle-eyed perspective, probably the teacher said, that when we broaden our perspective to be able to see a bigger picture as opposed to just where we are, you know, when they say you can't see the forest through the trees.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a reason why people say that you can't see the forest through the trees because you're so up close and personal. You know, you're seeing the ones that are right there in your direct vision, what you can see and touch, you know. But when you have an aerial view, you know, an aerial view is always so spectacular because it's like, wow, I am absolutely nothing in the whole scheme of things, you know. It's like that sand on the beach concept. You need every grain, but individually, you know, that I saw together, it's so much more powerful than who we are. You know, you can drown in sand, you know, but the grains are so minute, you know, it's hard to separate them, but you get enough of them, you know, and the enemy wants us to see ourselves as each individual grain as opposed to the force of the sand on the beach that can hold back, you know, that can, you know, there can be that wall against things, you know. I mean, that's a mixed metaphor, but you understand what I mean, sometimes he robs us and sometimes we rob ourselves because we don't thoroughly investigate and stay in the will of God. That, you know, sometimes we didn't have just enough information to topple our own our own construction, as opposed to trusting, as opposed to trusting God. Our house got to look like everybody else's house. When God is saying, no, that's not what I wanted to look like. I saw where, and this is something where they were marketing this, but talking about the church of the future. This is just yesterday. And they had all these things. I didn't stay on the site long, but where they were talking about almost taking the straight up business model where, not only do you have small groups, but you have little pods and of people, and this person does this, this person does that. And I get it, but it just seems like, okay, we are a living organism. The beauty of Christianity is that everybody can play a part. And when, like I said, here, this is going to go on and jump and ramble. But when you think about the sacrifice on the altar, the inner working, the inner parts were what the Lord wanted. There was the sweet-smelling fragrance, the hide, and the things that man would want from the animals that were being sacrificed were discarded, and it was the inward things that he was pleased to have, as opposed to the outward things. And that's kind of like just the opposite of how we are, the inner things that we consider marginal, people that are thoughtful and sensitive, who may have challenges or special needs, then we don't have time for that. We're looking for the hide. Give me, give me the pieces that I can see some kind of a way that I can ingratiate myself physically, but the Lord is looking for those things that are of a different nature, those hidden things. Those things that are only developed under the when we're in the crucible, those characteristics that only happen, when we understand the fellowship of his suffering,
absolutely.
You don't get to the power of the resurrection, it's the fellowship of the suffering. Then he talks about the power. It's not like the power of the resurrection, then you can be united with me in suffering. It's the exact opposite. Well, we try to turn that thing around because that doesn't seem very attractive,
Exactly. Amen. Anybody else? Somebody else was going to share?
I was going to talk about those sevenfold spirits of the Holy Spirit when we were talking about, because I'm looking at what's going on in the world today, what's going on right now, and what God has prepared us to do with the Spirit of the Lord is upon us. He said we would rest. And we know the Spirit of the Lord is love. And once you know that it's God's Spirit of love, you won't have to keep analyzing, as Elder said, or question. This is what I learned. Take it from my personal experience, because I was one that I would scrutinize everything. But when the rest comes upon you and you can be for sure that God is in control, you can rest. And even when you hear, see, because the enemy is going to come in just the way he did Jesus, where he's going to make things look like it's going to be much better for you. And then we think about how God has prepared our bodies for his Spirit to be indwelling in us. And he said his house is a house of prayer. So we realize the things, and when I say things, I mean the promises. When we can go back to the promises of God and knowing what he has promised us, if we do it the way he said do it, if we keep our minds stayed on him, because when darkness is covering, but he said we don't have to look at it because we're to let. That means he didn't tell us to make our life shine, but love lets our light shine. So we think about the things that God has prepared us with, the prayers, Hezekiah, Solomon, Job, all of these things he's teaching us from a different aspect at such a time as this. Because if God written it and he put it in his word, whether it is a parable, because a parable is, if we don't understand it, we meditate, because those are heavenly sayings. And I was trying to get online, so I was like, Lord, let me get online. I got to do this, you know, because I'm constantly asking God, let me get online. He even put, you know, your clients and whatever you got, you think you got to do, he would stop it so you can come to him. And I see that, and I see that people that confess to be Christians, but they're not trusting and they're not resting. And when we say that we're a child of God, we can rest and be assured that he's going to do it, because he said he would do it. And that's what I'm loving and getting the joy now, because I've always wanted to please God, but it was me. I wanted to do it. So now that he's showing me if I can rest and be still, and he utilized my body, that's my testimony now. Wherever I go, I be telling people, oh, it's much better when you let God do it. So even when he gives you assignments, that you put love first. And even if you got to go in the devil's territory, because there's a lot of places that, you know, I was like, no, I don't want to be here. But if God sends you into a place where you don't want to be, trust him, and you may not have to be there that long. But he will send you to places that your fleshly body don't want to be, because we think we entitled to the best. But God said, go and seek that which is lost. So if, you know, to go in the lost and found, you might have to go in quicksand and in anything. You know, somebody dropped some in the mud and they didn't find it. We have to go in the mud sometimes. But I was just, my real point was that love, when we can let God be first, he said, love and kindness have I drawn thee. And I know my tone, you know, I'm like you over here. People used to tell me if I said anything, because my voice was so heavy, they thought I was a turnoff. But then when they got to know me, they said I was a different person. But then the Holy Spirit said, now I want you to learn not to be thinking about what people say, but be obedient to what I say. So we have to learn to hear from heaven and know when God is talking, when man is talking, and when Satan is talking. So those are the things that I'm learning. I'm beginning to understand, because there are certain things that we have learned and we have heard in our childhood, youth, and young adult. But when you truly know it's from God, that's when we become doers. He said, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving ourselves. And a lot of times, I felt myself being a hearing, and I was, like you had said, trying to please God in my own way. But to be obedient. And when we love God, he say, if you love me, you would obey me. And that's to allow him to do the work. It's just awesome when he say, I'm jealous. You know, he's a jealous God. So when we don't let go and let him do it, he's a jealous God. God said, I created you for my purpose. I didn't know what my purpose was, so I was trying to do everything that I had a desire to do. Then I found out that he had given me my heart's desire. But he wanted us to be for him. And I, you know, a lot of things when I came to labor, I knew, but I didn't get a complete understanding. And then he said, now, in all that getting, get an understanding. I was looking at, you remember Names of God in 2006, everybody that was at labor, the calendar, and I was reading the calendar, and then I thought about this big one, that the 2020, And I was like, whoa, God, you really bless laborers. And I was, every time I try to study it, you know, first I was geared, I was really gone. And then in April, the Lord told me to be still. I guess I was going too fast. So when when I was still, God began to reveal things to you. He's a revealing Father, and He revealed the importance of prayer. My house is a house of prayer. And then He tells me I'm the house. And then we're talking about prayer. You know, when we come in on Friday, we're being taught about prayer. We were taught about the promises. And the way God is doing things for us, He say, all you got to do is what? Believe. Believe that everything that He's teaching, that He's the God, that He cannot lie. Then we won't have to analyze. We won't have to ask questions or scrutinize. But all we have to do is walk by faith. And that's all I really have to say, Ophelia, because I'm learning the things
Amen.
That I thought I knew. You know, when you think you know something, and I never wanted to be a person with a big head because we know you'll tilt over. But then God even, he keeps us, even when we have a desire to just to run before Him, in other words. We can't go before Him. We have to let Him lead, guide, and direct us. And I can rest. The Spirit of the Lord can rest upon you. Then you receive everything else. And we know that last one, He say that fear of the Lord will be reverenced, the fear that we didn't do what He told us to do. And then we repent and go back and do it. So I just love you and everybody else on the line that we can come together on Fridays and learn from one another, because sometimes we think, and I read that in Genesis, God is not concerned about our thinking, is it's not lining up with what He's thinking. And it's just He made us for His purpose. And when we know, those of us that got children, we know we want our children to do what we say. I don't care how old they get. So I just thank you all again.
Amen. Amen.
Good morning. That reminds me of the devil said, you're too old to be doing this, that, and other. And the Holy Spirit told me, I don't know nothing about no age. How old is you really? And I cracked up. I said, that's the devil. Because you don't get old, too old to love and serve God.
Amen.
Amen. He gonna hold him to teach you and learn you and do for God that you want to do, and listen to Him and obey.
Amen. Wonderful dialogue. Anybody else?
I thank God. I came in late, but still, from what I heard, this was what I needed to hear. And I know on one, I think Overseer stated, of those sins was pride, and God has been working with me with that. And sometimes you don't know you have such a level of that, and God deals with the heart, and monitor your heart in ways that you don't know. And when you start looking at yourself and seeing everything that is not, when you ask God, Lord, show me everything that's not like you, and He start working in your heart with those situations and circumstances, then you get to see you, and you can't even see no one else but you, because that's the only person you have to deal with is yourself, so that you can be what God called you to be. So just been with this supernatural prayer and all the books that have been on words for the word from the 5 years, you know, when you're going through and you grab packing and you grab every book that word for the word been taught, and you said, I need to go back to this one again. You know?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I just thank God that he'll put back in your remember. You think you might have learned something, and then it'd be a chapter in there. I mean, I pulled out, I don't think that was from Word for the Word. It was maybe for Labors for Christ. It was a blue one for Discipline Book. And that was so much. And then The Making of a Leader. And just books that, the Shepherd Book, the Shepherd's Heart or whatever. So when he brings those books back to your remembrance, it's for you to get something else that you might have pulled out and thought you learned, but you got to start back over. And so I just thank God for Words for Word Fellowship of Learners. And you learn from you, Overseer, as well as everyone in the group and people who come on the line and what they say, because I just got so much word hearing Pastor Deborah, Elder Deborah and Overseer first, and Elder Deborah and Pastor Diane and Missionary Narvella. And so to God
Amen.
Be the glory. Thank you all.
Amen. Amen. It's interesting that Minister Pat mentioned the Spiritual Discipline Book, because that was another book that I considered and I really wanted to, but I know that it's such a interactive book that everybody would have to buy. Everybody would have to do each one of the lessons because it's interactive. So it's not just a teaching where I would talk for a half an hour, okay? But it would definitely be interactive, and it's such a powerful tool for Christian development, spiritual development, strengthening our stand and our expressing our love. And so that was as interesting, Mr. Pat, that you would mention it, you know, because that really, really was a concern. But I know that in order to do that book, we would need, you know, your commitment. First of all, the book's not cheap. You know, I think it's not $20, but it's, you know, probably $12, $13, $14, something like that. But it really does take a daily, I mean, you know, you would really have to weekly keep up with the chapters so that we can interact. So that, you know, just pray over it. That is definitely one of the things we really considered. So anybody else? Thank you, thank you, thank you. Seemed like somebody put their phone, took them off mute. Is there anything you would like to share? Insight, inspiration, direction. So we got 8 whole minutes. And Hezekiah prayed, that's for sure. Okay.
It's interesting. I guess this was one of those, like, debriefing days that we needed to just get this out. But
I think
when Minister Patrick talked about reading a book, going back to a book, it made me think about how I'm not really a big movie fan, but people who watch movies and watch the movie, you know, 5, 6 times, you know, I know I can say that there is music that I probably have listened to hundreds of times, you know, favorite albums, you know, showing my age, but or favorite CDs. And a lot of times, I think we speak the word of God like, I read it, I got it. But, you know, you go back and you reread some of those things, and it's like, wow, I really missed a whole layer, that there was a whole nuance that I didn't even see, because I'm looking at the main, you know, the main story. So sometimes it helps some of those books, you know, I mean, and even some of those Andrew Murray books that I've had occasion to read more than once, you know, not all of them, but some of them, like that Abiding Christ, is just like, I knew even while reading it, like, this is so heavy, I'm going to definitely have to read it again because I got to get to the next chapter. But this chapter is just drawing me back and, you know, holding me captive because something resonates so intensely that, you know, maybe I didn't get that I thought I had, you know, and he just said something, a phrasing or, you know, uses an example, and it's just sometimes it's convicting, sometimes it's, you know, whoever, and not just him, but whoever, the story of the boys and the trying to get back home,
river.
Coming up the river.
Yeah, the river.
I can't remember what book that was, but you know which. Story did that story, you know, that just made a really impact. And sometimes you can take some of those things, use those as landmarks in our conversations and narratives about who Christ is. Some of those things I really think are things that can enhance our tool set, so to speak. When we can explain certain spiritual properties in a way that makes them more alive to our audience. You know, but in order for those kinds of things to work, we got to get it first, you know. You know, nothing worse than you trying to tell a joke and you don't quite get it. You get the joke, but you can't deliver it so that the people understand the punchline. And, you know, while you're doing it, you're thinking, oh, man, it was great. It was so funny. Ha, ha, ha. And they're like, yeah, well, you need to go back to the well because you're missing, you know, a little of your water in the story. So sometimes I think we need to go back and look at, reread those things that they impact us. You know, I dare say write them down because there is so much stuff out here now talking about the lost art of writing. 41 of the 50 states no longer even have cursive as part of the curriculum. 41 of the 50 states. What kind of adults are we, and young adults are we creating that you have a whole generation and a half who can't even read cursive, who don't even have a signature because they can't write cursive. I mean, their signature is printing with a mark. You know what I mean? To me, that is just mind-boggling, you know. And there's something about, they said that there's definitely something about when you write how it reinforces in three places in your brain, and none of that happens when you're typing. I mean, you're getting information out when you're typing, but what it takes to find motor skills, the memory, just the whole thing, you know what I mean? And they've done these studies on kids and adults, you know. And with kids, they say with just the typing, that their brain is just blank. There is no brain activity that's happening in the way that it is strengthening and creating some of these networks, you know, from the motor skills to the arts to the aesthetic beauty of the writing to the, just all of those, you know, all of those kinds of things that, you know, we got to get back to some of the basics. I'm with technology, but, you know, the fact that these kids can not read cursive is something. And one of my friends indicated that she gave a gift to her nephew, and she wrote in the card in cursive. And he said, you know, that he couldn't read it. This is somebody who went from high school. You know, that is deplorable. So, you know, we need to be on the wall. You know, you can't get a lady out with the bathwater.
Right. And, you know, it's interesting, you know, as you share that, you know, the eyes of our understanding has to be enlightened because you can see the strategy of the enemy. Part of your, like you say, is your signature. They can even tell, you know, you wrote this or you wrote this. There's a distinction even in our cursive writing, not so much our printing, but in our cursive writing. And the more we become this mindless person, the more the devil is able to manipulate all kinds of things because he's taken even that away. So as we see these things happening, just like when they took prayer out of the schools, you know, we had no idea it would go escalate the way it did, but we knew something wasn't going to work well, but it did. And so as we see these things being removed from training and growth and development of our generations, you can see the path, if you will, the trajectory that the enemy is shooting for. It's less of you and more of him. You know, more where it is mindless, as you say, as it's unidentifiable individually, and yet God has a plan for each one of our lives. It is very unique. It's very customized because each one of us have a unique position in his heart and in his mind. We're not, you know, all just, what do you call it, assembly line products of something. And the enemy would want us to think that we are, that we really don't matter, and it really doesn't, because you typed it or you printed it and nobody knows it's you, and so whatever. But when it doesn't know it's you, then what he's doing is taking away that anointing and that power that he knows you do have. He knows that you have, God has a plan for you. He's put it in you. And negate it by taking away your identity, which is why it's so important for us to know our identity in Christ. That's one of the reasons I felt like Search for Significance would be an appropriate time, because we understand, as Pastor Rogers was saying, you know, you got to love God. Well, first you have to know him and know what he says, believe what he says, then trust what he says, then try what he says, and then you're able to rest. So that's a whole process that we don't often share with people. We just say, trust God. Well, it's not that simple. There are so many steps in that process. There's so many places that we have to visit. And so as we were sharing about books we've read in the past, you know, you can read it now and it's totally different. I think that those books we read then formed a layer of our foundation. Now, as God builds on that layer, then when we visit that book again, that book we are seeing through the layers that have existed between the time we first read it and we're reading it now. So we've had a lot of layers of revelation, layers of inspiration, layers of teaching between the first time we read a scripture and this last time we read a scripture. But it is progressive, just like Elder said, it's a living thing, so it's growing and growing and growing. But it needed the sales, if you will, of the input of that read the first time, of that exposure the first time, and all of the rest of the experiences and the encounters that we have with God, so that when we have this next encounter about something that would seem to be familiar, okay, there is a new level to it. You know, it becomes even more three-dimensional, four-dimensional, n-dimensional, whatever, because what it is sitting on has built up our insight, our understanding, our knowledge of the scripture or of the event or of the book or whatever it is, of whatever is being presented in our lives. And so we view those things as part of God's perfect plan. He planned it that way. He planned it. And so we do rest in knowing, you know what, he really plans pretty good, okay? When you look at the back in the past and what he's done and how he got you to where you are and what you finally come, ooh, now I know. He said, and I'm sure he's going, yeah, I guess you do know now. You know how long I have been imparting into you my knowledge, my understanding, my wisdom, my counsel, you know, a fear of me, and even pouring out my spirit on you so that the spirit of the Lord is upon you. So now, yes, you can see something more because the I have enlightened the eyes of your understanding. And then getting that hope for it was, shoot, this is what God said he was going to do. So all I do is say, love him. That's it. Love him and obey him. You know, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. I got to find out what they are, what those promises are, positions are he wants you to take, just by reading the Rhema word, listening to the Logos word. Reading the Logos word, listening to the Rhema. I keep getting those things mixed up. But, and finding joy, one of the phrases, one of the goals of reading this book, we have said was, we are going to take off to rise to a new level of joy. Knowledge brings joy. Joy is for the miracles are waiting for us. They're waiting there. They're waiting on us to get there. So we're rising to this new level of joy, being totally satisfied with the way God manages our life. And each time we grow to a more full understanding of the perfection of the way God manages our life. And then the miracles happen, because the desires of our hearts are going to be those desires that will honor and glorify him and bring praises to his kingdom, establishes his kingdom. And because of that, he cannot not answer our prayers, okay? Because it is what he wants. So anybody else, inspirations, insights, revelations, sharing, just sharing, sharing. Today is the day, our last, actually, Friday in the month of August, our anniversary date for real. So, anybody else?
And then over here, I came in late as well, but, you know, just talking about the sevenfold, the Spirit of God, the seven spirits of God, and how they rest and resonate in our lives. And so I began to kind of look up and try to play a little catch up with where we are in this whole walk with God. But one of the things, the scriptures that has always resonated with me is in the book of Isaiah, when people use the scripture, his thoughts are not, my thoughts are not your thoughts, and neither are my ways your ways. And that is scriptural. But the preceding verses talks about who he's talking to. And he's talking to those who are not seeking him. He's talking to those who have forsaken his way, those who are wicked. And he's telling them, my thoughts are not your thoughts. And so I would always grapple with that, because over in the New Testament, Jesus says to let this mind be in you that is also in Christ Jesus. And then he turned around and said, me and my Father are one. And so if I have the thoughts of God, I have the thoughts of Christ, then I keep hearing people telling me that my thoughts are not his thoughts. And so it's just a matter of getting in the word and getting, you know, your understanding, so that you begin to know that God's desire is for him to download his thoughts into you, and to not let that particular, you know, when we're saying it and we're using it out of context, to get people to understand that there is a place and a position of God where the actual Spirit of the Lord and where the actual Spirit of wisdom, because the Spirit of wisdom is God's supernatural thought to us.
Yes,
that's the
it
Spirit
is.
Of wisdom.
Yes, it is.
And if you've been eluded to thinking that God's thoughts are not your thoughts, you feel like, no, I can't have the thoughts of God, because it's been misrepresented over here in Isaiah. And so I just wanted to uproot the lie from the enemy that we need to be praying, God, let my thoughts be your thoughts.
Be your thoughts, yes.
Let
yes.
my ways be your ways. My God. Yes. So I just...
Hallelujah.
So we can walk
Amen.
In the truth of God.
Yes.
That as we're growing, as we're expanding, as we're enlarging ourselves and who God is, my God, that every time our thought process is changing, because he is downloaded. And the Bible says that we're not to be ignorant to Satan's devices.
Right.
We're not to be ignorant to,
right.
to his devices, even with what we see that's going on in the world, as far as everything that we're seeing, and even some of the points that Elder Deborah brought out, and points that each of you have brought out, all of these nuggets being brought together, because God is exposing that which the enemy is doing.
Yes.
And such wisdom, please forgive me, that Hollywood brought out, you know, when she said, how the enemy was telling her that she was too old, and how she had to laugh at the enemy when God let her go, who told you at age? Oh, my God.
Yes.
So on today, as we just begin to enlarge and begin to search out the seven spirits, the sevenfold spirit of God, and who he is, the spirit of the Lord, the spirit of wisdom, understanding, counsel, as we begin to let his thoughts become our thoughts and his ways become our ways, we can be better instruments used in the master's hand. That was what I had to say. Thank you for this time.
Well, hallelujah. Thank you. You want to bless those seven spirits of God have just been on me, and just as you were sharing, you know, and he said, I'm going to pour them out on you. So they guaranteed yours. He done poured them out. You know, and so there's so many truths that the enemy would have us scales over our eyes to blind us to. And yet, when we fail not to assemble ourselves together, when we become one by sharing, then we uncover, expose the enemy, and he knows it. And so thank you all for your insights, your inspirations, your wisdom, your word of knowledge, your rhema word. All those things have flowed through us today. And we are empowered by them to worship God. And so as we, anybody else, any other revelations, thoughts, the line is open. Whatever God gives, share. Amen. Amen. So we're gonna close out in prayer. We normally don't. But we want to seal this, not for disrespect or anything, but as this has gone forth, we just want to seal it in prayer. We want to praise God for what he has done and send a offering, a sacrificial offering of prayer and praise unto the Lord. So will somebody pray us up, not out, but up.
Father God in heaven, once more again, we come together in agreement, hallelujah, that we love you and we want to obey you. We thank you for your word, and we thank you that your son, Jesus, has given us the prayer that we can pray for. So our Father, which art in heaven, holy is thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. So, Father God in heaven, we thank you for this time. We thank you for overseer. We thank you for each one that comes on this line, that we can rejoice in knowing what you have done for us. We thank you that we are followers, hallelujah. Oh, Father God, as we follow your son, Jesus, that someone else would follow us, that we would be able to let our light so shine that others may see you and not look at us. So, Father God, we just thank you for your word, for your promises, and for your prayers. For these prayers have opened up our eyes, our ears, and our heart to receive. But yet, Father God in heaven, we will follow your son, Jesus, for he has said, follow me. Hallelujah. It is finished. Thank you, and it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen, and thank God.
Amen.
Amen.
Man. Thank you all, and we're going to call Hezekiah next week. Okay? God bless you.
Amen.
Like to share, though, with everybody that's in Labors for Christ Word Life Center on Sunday, you should be prepared. You may be called upon to give a 3 to 5 minute exposition on an oil of anointing that's from the 8 oils. Prophetic oils that have been released in the house. That is going to be the structure of service. Individuals are going to be called upon to do the oil of vision, the oil of ministry, oil of deliverance, the oil of hope, the oil of health, the oil of wealth. These 8 prophetic oils that have been released. So it's going to be a very prophetic and interesting worship service. So be sure to be there early. And then that way maybe you'll get your assignment before they just call your name during the service. Hallelujah. Be ye ready. So as we have declared the prophetic prayer and declaration of the 8 oils of blessings for this month of August, and as August ends and we're in our new beginning, it is going to usher in a time of worship like never before. So we just encourage you to continue to present your heart to be prepared for the worship every day, and culminating on the first day of the week on this Sunday. So God bless you, and come with your praise. Come with your praise. Hallelujah. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Have any
Amen.
Questions, you need to call the apostle.
Amen. Have a good weekend.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Everybody, enjoy the Lord. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Have a blessed day.
Amen.
Amen.